Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're jumping straight into the Q2 2025 Forge Investment Outlook.
Yeah.
Think of this as your guide to figuring out what's really going on in the private markets, especially with all the ups and downs we've seen publicly.
Exactly. We're working with the latest from Forge Global here, and the aim is pretty simple, really. We want to pull out the key insights, private market performance, IPOs, M&A, the huge influence of AI, give you that clear picture.
Okay, let's start with the IPO scene then. It feels like maybe just a little while ago, there was this hope, wasn't there, that things were starting to thaw out.
Mm-hmm.
We saw more S1 filings. Those are the initial registration papers for an IPO in Q1 this year.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of suggested the IPO market might finally be waking up after, 3 years?
That's right. There was definitely a bit of buzz. CoreWeave's IPO, late March, that was a big test case. You know, everyone was watching. It was really the first major tech IPO since Service Titan, which was way back in December 2024.
But it wasn't a totally smooth ride, was it? I remember reading CoreWeave, they had to price lower than they planned and offer fewer shares.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't quite the blowout reception some might have hoped for. They ended up raising $1.5 billion at a $23 billion valuation, which, yeah, was a bit under some earlier whispers. The stock even dipped a little at first.
Mm.
But it has recovered since then. Still, it makes you wonder, was that just CoreWeave, or was the market still a bit, you know, cautious underneath?
And then, bang, April 2nd, the U.S. government announces global tariffs. That really threw a spanner in the works, didn't it?
Oh, absolutely. That news hit the public markets hard. The NASDAQ dropped, over 11% in just 2 days?
Wow.
And that sudden shift, that economic uncertainty, it definitely led companies like Klarna, Chime, StubHub, they all seemed to hit the brakes on their IPO plans.
Right, so they didn't necessarily pull the paperwork entirely, but the timing just got really murky. It just shows how linked everything is, public, private, external stuff hits fast.
Definitely. But here's the fascinating bit, the contrast. Despite all that public market drama, the private market, according to the Forge report, actually showed quite a bit of strength in Q1.
Okay, so public markets are rocky, but private holds up better. What are the main things from Q1 that show that?
Well, takeaway number one is pretty stark. Outperformance. All three Forge indices, the main Forge Private Market Index, or FPMI.
That's the broad one.
Yeah, the broad measure. Then there's the Private Magnificent 7, the Mag 7, and the Forge Accuidity Private Market Index, the FAPMI, which tracks more actively traded names. All three delivered positive returns. And not just positive, but significantly better than the public market.
Okay, let's get into those figures. The FPMI, the main one, what did that do?
FPMI was up a huge 37.1% in Q1.
37%?
Yeah. The Private Mag 7 thinks SpaceX, Fanatics, Rippling, Databricks, Scale AI, Stripe, OpenAI, that was up 31.2%. And even the FAPMI, focusing on those more liquid names, returned a solid 9.5%.
And compare that to the public side. SPY down, QQQ down even more. The IPO ETF got hammered, down almost 14%.
Yeah, exactly. Big difference.
So what was pushing the private market up so much?
Well, several things. For the FPMI, a huge driver was Figure AI. Their valuation just exploded up something like 1,140%.
Whoa.
Yeah, that shows that massive appetite for AI and robotics, especially companies making real progress. Then you had Sequantum raising money at a $6 billion valuation. And of course, OpenAI's monster $40 billion round at a $300 billion valuation.
Right.
The FEPMI did well, too. It holds more Andural and Stripe, which both perform strongly. It doesn't hold Figure AI, mind you, which explains some of the difference with the main FPMI.
Okay, so it sounds like AI is just still the dominant theme here, which I guess brings us to key takeaway number two.
Yeah.
This continued AI excitement.
Exactly. AI is still, you know, probably the major engine in the private market right now. And a lot of the big AI names are still private. No big rush to go public, it seems.
And the funding rounds in Q1 were just massive, weren't they?
Yeah.
In AI specifically.
Oh, yeah. Anthropic raised $3.5 billion, valuing them at $61.5 billion. OpenAI, that $40 billion round we mentioned, Databricks closed a big round too, and these are already huge companies getting even bigger valuations. Investors are clearly still very bullish on the leaders in AI.
And the report mentioned secondary trading too, like shares of these private AI companies being bought and sold. That's been high for a while.
Yes, since about Q2 2023, the trading activity for private AI stocks on secondary platforms has been pretty elevated. It shows there's strong demand to get into these companies even before any IPO talk.
Okay, so if the IPO door is maybe less wide open, or at least the timing is tricky, what else are companies doing to exit? That leads to takeaway three, right? M&A is stepping up.
Precisely. With IPOs looking less certain, M&A mergers and acquisitions is definitely becoming a more popular exit route for these later stage private companies. Look at the numbers for Q1. 13 M&A exits compared to just 4 IPOs.
13 versus 4. Yeah, that's clear.
It really suggests companies that maybe were eyeing an IPO are now more open to being acquired and buyers are maybe more willing.
And the report hints we might see more of the really big M&A deals, like billion-dollar plus ones. Why is that?
Well, the thinking is potentially a less interventionist FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, and also maybe capital markets being more open to financing big deals could be a better environment for those large transactions.
And we saw some pretty big ones in Q1 already, right?
Absolutely. ServiceNow bought MoveWorks for $2.85 billion. CoreWeave actually bought Weights & Biases for about $1.7 billion. And the really big one was Google finally acquiring Wiz, the cybersecurity firm, for a massive $32
billion. $32 billion. Wow. Especially since their earlier attempt failed, right?
Yeah. They tried back in July 24 for $23 billion, but it hit regulatory snags. So closing it now at an even higher price is pretty significant. Largest cybersecurity deal ever.
Definitely signals something changing there. Okay. Let's maybe dig a bit deeper into the actual market performance metrics. We talked about the FPMI overall game, but what about the individual companies inside it?
Sure. So inside the FPMI, over half the companies, 62%, actually got marked up in value during Q1. And the average markup was pretty hefty, like 67.6%.
67% average increase. That's high.
It's the highest level of markups they've seen since way back in Q3 2021. And on the flip side, fewer companies got marked down, only 28%, and the average markdown was smaller, around an active 11.7%.
Okay. And how did different sectors do within that index?
Industrials were the clear leader, up a massive 209%. That was heavily driven by Figure AI, like we said, but also Shield AI and Anduril did well. FinTech was also pretty solid, steady, positive returns, up 28%. You saw good contributions from Stripe, Kraken, Ripple, Ramp, Chime, lots of familiar names there.
Were there any notable companies that went the other way? Big markdowns.
Yeah, there always are. Attentive was marked down about 40%, Flow Cost down around 33%. It's just a reminder, you know, it's not all up and to the right in private markets. There's still risk.
Definitely. Okay, let's switch gears to the primary market actual fundraising rounds. What were the big trends there in Q1?
Well, late stage funding hit record levels. Over $60 billion raised in Q1 across about 149 rounds.
$60 billion. Wow.
Yeah, but remember, that OpenAI $40 billion round is a huge chunk of that. Anthropic's $3.5 billion helped too, but still a very active quarter.
And what about valuations in those rounds? Were companies getting big step-ups from their previous funding?
Interestingly, the median step up stayed pretty steady. It's actually been like that for 6 quarters straight now. So while you had those huge individual stories like Figure AI or OpenAI, the median company wasn't seeing a massive jump in its step up multiple.
Okay. And the report mentioned something about when companies last raised money.
Yeah, this was interesting. Over 45% of the companies that got an up round in Q1 had actually raised money fairly recently in 2024.
Okay.
But almost 45% of companies whose last round was back in 2021 or 2022, they actually experienced a down round in Q1.
Ah, so maybe a bit of reckoning for those who raised during the frothier times, getting repriced now.
It sort of suggests that, yeah, valuations may be coming back down to earth if they haven't been to market in a while.
Well, you got a bunch of new unicorns in Q1, too. Billion-dollar companies from different areas.
Yes, quite a few new unicorns popped up. Business operations software, healthcare software seemed to lead, but you also saw them in data management like Supabase, robotics with Aptronik, even food like Olipop, and transport software like Fleetio. Also, names like Peregrine, MaintainX, The Bot Company, Hippocratic AI, Etched, Underdog Fantasy, Clay, High Touch, Neutrodyne, Open Evidence, really shows the breadth of stuff getting funded.
Right. It's not just AI, even though AI is huge.
Exactly.
Were there any really big valuation jumps or drops among the existing unicorns when they raised money?
Yeah, definitely. Big step-ups included companies like Anysphere, Colossal Biosciences, Saronic, Phantom, Celestial AI, showing significant growth. On the other side, some existing unicorns like One, Carbon Health, Mythical Games, Icon Therapeutics, and ABL Space Systems saw notable valuation decreases in their Q1 rounds.
Okay, now let's talk secondary market. This is where existing shares trade hands, right? What was the story there in Q1?
Well, first off, a lot of companies trading on Forge, like 53%, haven't actually raised fresh money since 2021 or 2022. And for those companies, the median Forge price where their shares are trading is down over 50% from those last rounds. Again, reflecting that earlier valuation peak.
But did the actual secondary pricing improve overall in Q1?
Yes, it did seem to. Pricing improved across the board, all percentiles, and significantly, the median discount, how much below the last round price shares were trading, almost got back to zero, back to par.
So trading closer to their last official valuation.
Exactly. First time that median has been near par since way back in Q1 2022, so maybe some stabilization, even a bit of recovery there.
And what about demand? Were buyers still interested?
Buy-side interest was still high, generally, though it was down just a little bit from the absolute peak in Q4 last year. That might just be because Q4 had some intense trading in a couple of really big popular names.
Okay, and the gap between buy and sell prices, the bid-ask spread.
That continued to narrow. It settled around 8% in March, even with a little blip upwards in February. A tighter spread is usually a good sign. It means more agreement on price, more efficient market.
Right, and ROFRs.
Right.
Rights of first refusal. Can you quickly explain that and what the data showed?
Sure. ROFR is basically the company or existing investors getting the first chance to buy shares someone wants to sell, matching the outside offer. In Q4 2024, the rate companies exercised that right was 16%. That's kind of in line with recent history, a bit below the long-term average. What's interesting is that over a third of the time they did exercise it, they actually paid a premium to the company's last funding round valuation.
Huh. So sometimes they're willing to pay up to keep shares in friendly hands or because they think it's worth more.
Could be either, yeah. And the report uses those ROFR prices to give implied valuations for companies like Suno, The Farmer's Dog, Kraken, Ripple, Placer AI, Flex, Motive, Figure Lending, Miro. Some of those implied valuations were discounts to the last round, some were premiums. It gives you a kind of real-time feel for specific company sentiment.
Got it. Okay, last piece of data. Mutual fund marks. How public funds value their private holdings. This data lags a bit, right?
Yeah, it's usually reported quarterly, so the latest here is Q4 2024 data. What it showed was the top private companies held by these funds were getting marked at higher premiums than we'd seen since mid-2022. The median discount stayed roughly steady, though, around minus 25%.
But didn't the actual secondary trades show a much bigger improvement in Q4 than those mutual fund marks did?
That's right. While the fund marks were pretty stable, the discount on actual trades jumped from negative 36% in Q3 to just negative 5% in Q4.
So a potential gap between the official marks and where things were actually trading.
Yeah, it could suggest the secondary market was recovering faster or valuing things differently than how the mutual funds were marking their books at that specific point in time.
Okay. And just to round it off, exit activity. We said M&A was dominant. The report lists the actual deals.
Yes. It details the completed Q1 IPOs, Maze, Ciona, Aardvark, and CoreWeave. And it lists the completed M&A deals too, quite a few of those. It also points to some anticipated M&A in companies that have filed S1s for potential IPOs. But like we said at the start, the timing on those IPOs is now, well, less clear after the tariff news.
Right. Okay, so let's try and wrap this all up. If you had to boil it down, what are the absolute key things you should take away from this deep dive into the Q2 outlook?
I'd say three main things. One, private markets showed surprising strength in Q1, really outperforming the public markets despite those headwinds like the tariffs. Two, AI is still just the massive story, huge investments, driving valuations, and many top players staying private. And three, M&A is clearly becoming the more favored exit path right now compared to IPOs, given the market uncertainty.
Okay, so here's something to maybe leave you thinking about. How might these tariffs continue to shift things between public and private markets going forward? And also, can this incredible AI hype sustain these really high private valuations if the broader economy hits some bumps? What does all this mean for investors, for companies, looking ahead?
Those are definitely the big questions, right? It's this complex mix of policy, tech disruption, investor mood that's going to shape where the private market goes next.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully this has given you a clearer picture. If any specific companies or sectors caught your ear, definitely worth digging deeper. The private market's always moving.
It certainly is.
Thanks for joining us for this edition of The Deep Dive.